week on the Michelle Mortensen Show, a high schooler could go to jail for voter fraud. She's accused of rigging her homecoming queen race. Plus, we uncover the truth about masks and kids with Dr. Sal from the Men's Health Network. And can Caitlyn Jenner actually beat Gavin Newsom in the California recall? We'll debate it, and we'll introduce you to the hottest new author of Steamy Smut, Stacey Abrams. Oh, yeah. That's Stacey Abrams. Oh, and Twitter wants to put an end to snotty, snarky, witty banter. But don't worry, this is the home of snarky wit, so I've got you covered. The Michelle Mortensen Show starts right now. Time to get real. Happy Friday, everyone. So glad that you're here for the Michelle Mortensen Show today. I gotta tell you, I just got a breaking news alert. This is big news. Caesar's Palace is reopening the buffet on May 20th. And yes, fat people everywhere, rejoice, rejoice. Actually, it's good news. It's good news the buffets are opening. We want things to get back to normal. My gosh, it has to get back to normal. Did you see? Did you hear? Just a little while ago, jobs numbers came out for April and they... Dunk. Biden still came out and acted like it's a good thing. You know, they were saying we were going to have a million jobs in April. It was something like 266,000. So it's in no way a victory. But of course, what did Biden do? He totally did a victory lap. It was awesome. Maybe it's the fact that we're still giving people unemployment and they can make more money on unemployment than they could by working. And because we still won't have the kids go home or go to school every single day, parents would rather stay at home. So, you know, there's all these reasons. And quick little plug for State of the State, because I know many of you will tune in for that show a little bit later on today. We're going to be talking about Dieter, the disaster that is Dieter. Do you know that we have millions of dollars right now at Nevada's disposal? They have no idea how to spend it. And they've decided they're not going to fix the problems at Dieter, but they do want to give the teachers' unions a huge kickback, which is just super fantastic because I can't stand the teachers' union. Not because I'm against kids, not because I'm against teachers, but because I'm against stupidity and special interests running the show. Because special interests running the show has been just, well, I don't know, the theme of 2020 and now the theme of 2021. I often tell people on this show, you know that I'm a mom. You know I have two kids. I have a daughter who's 6. I have a daughter who's 9. My kids have been in the classroom going to school 5 days a week since June. That's right. They started in summer school. They have been there from June until today. They're going to be there until the first week of June when their school ends. Do you know that they have not had one COVID case? Not one. But they do have to wear masks every day because that's what Governor Sisolak wants. And I asked my kids the other day, I said, you know what? It's like 93 degrees out. It's hot all of a sudden here in Vegas. We've lifted the mask mandates for outside. I asked, are you wearing your mask during PE? And they said, oh yeah, they make us wear the mask while we run laps. Now, I have a huge problem with that. Why? Because I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's safe. And I don't even think our children should be wearing masks. But I'm not just saying that because, you know, I'm a conservative and I'm a pundit and la, 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 la. Because I'm not even necessarily anti-mask. I'm anti being forced to wear the mask. And this is why, because kids are paying a price. Watch this video I'm going to show you. It's a little news clip about a girl who was running track with her dumb mask on and what it resulted in. Spence, let's roll it.
I felt like I just wasn't being able to get a full breath, and multiple times of that happening, not being able to get enough air, I just felt super dizzy and then eventually passed out.
Williams blames her lack of oxygen on the mask she's required to wear during competition.
Clearly in the past, this has never happened. And then this race that I was wearing a mask, it did happen, which I don't think is a coincidence.
Her coach echoing that belief, saying this was not a conditioning issue, it was a mask issue.
It was a different response than I've seen for kids that have collapsed to the track just because they were exhausted. She wasn't sure where she was.
See, and that therein lies the problem is should these kids be wearing masks while they're exercising? Many of you know we play tennis in our family. Every single Wednesday, the kids go to tennis. And I am shocked, just beyond shook, when I see all these 6 and 10-year-olds running around playing tennis on the court with their masks on while all of their parents outside, because we're not that bougie. We don't have indoor courts. Outside, all the moms and dads are wearing masks. Outside. Maybe they just all really admire Joe Biden and they're like, I want to wear that mask all the time. Or maybe they're just too afraid of like some anti-masker coming up to them and attacking them. But the truth of the matter is like, no one does that. The only people who have problems are the people who think that masks are life. So while I could wax poetically about this for hours and hours and hours on end, I know that you guys like to hear from real doctors. And you know that on this show, we have befriended one of the best doctors ever. His name is Dr. Sal from the Men's Health Network. I love Dr. Sal. He is so gracious to be on our show as a regular, which I truly, truly adore. And while we don't always agree on everything, we do agree that we mutually just think the world of one another. And Dr. Sal, it has just been such a pleasure to get to know you, and it's always great to have you on the show. So welcome here today. Oh, you know what? Looks like your mic was unmuted there. Can we, I can't unmute you, but you can unmute you. There you go. Let's try that again.
Okay. Don't tell my wife where the mute button is because she's been trying to find it for a very long time. So I apologize for that, but thanks for having me back on the show. It's always a pleasure to be here and help you and your listeners understand all this confusing information.
Yeah. So it was funny. Just earlier today, I saw some video from a Utah school board meeting where the parents kind of band together and they were saying, we want you to listen to us. We don't want our 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds wearing masks. I agree. Do you know, every day I pick up the girls, they have their masks on and I have to tell them to take their masks off while they're in the car. They've become so conditioned to it. And I'm not necessarily sure it's good. Now that's a mom talking. What does Dr. Sal have to say?
Well, this is a grandpa talking who has a fair amount of letters after his name. I think you hit a nail on the head there. Americans have been conditioned to wear a mask. So it's almost like a statement now that people do. It took a while, if you remember back about a year ago, to get people to the point where they would wear masks. And then it was very important because we did have to actively engage in strong mitigation practices to get it under control until the vaccines were available. But now, because of the ingenuity and the resources of the pharmaceutical industry, we have these vaccines and we have a huge number of individuals being vaccinated. And these vaccines are being shown over and over and over again to be effective, not just in the garden variety, if you will, of the coronavirus, but also these variants that have people on edge. There's a study coming out of Israel that shows that the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are just as effective against the variants that we know of as they are against the first one. So that's very good news. But people have to be now deconditioned to wearing masks in areas where they don't need to wear masks. So I will agree that when you're in a crowded area or a supermarket, or if you go to a indoor sporting event where you're closer than 3 feet or so, and you should be wearing a mask. If you've not been vaccinated, you really should be wearing a mask. But if you've been vaccinated in an outdoor area, or if you simply are, you know, distanced more than 3 feet, masks are not a real priority right now.
You did hit on something that I didn't necessarily want to talk about. See, I told you I was going to wow you with something that you weren't expecting no matter what. But Joe Biden spoke earlier today about his jobs numbers. And of course, at the end, reporters love to yell questions to him because, well, he doesn't take questions any other time. And somebody said, like, why are you still wearing the mask? You know, when you're outside, you're fully vaccinated. And even here in the building, like you won't ever let it go. And he cracked a little joke and he said, oh, I'm doing it for your safety. Ha ha. That's a joke. Wasn't funny. And then he said it's because it's good practice. So That was what really infuriates me. If you're going to encourage people to get vaccinated, then you better say that you don't need to wear the darn mask anymore. I don't understand why there is such a delay, but maybe it's because the CDC gets their guidance from teachers unions. Maybe, Dr. So.
Well, as to Mr. Biden, President Biden's wearing a mask, he was apparently wearing it also during a Zoom meeting. And the reason he was wearing it then with the world leaders was to set an example to world leaders. I think that's laudable of him, but I don't think that's necessary medically. So I'll not comment on the political stuff. I'm sure you have lots of people better qualified than I talk about that. But from a medical standpoint, a health standpoint, you don't need to wear a mask during a Zoom meeting. And it's foolish because what it does is it provides a disincentive for people to get vaccinated, which is the most important technology we have now to get past this viral problem. So, you know, whatever the reason he wants to give, I think it's not a good signal. It was a good signal this time last February. It was probably a good signal in January, but it's not a good signal in May.
No, and you know, I get irritated from a political perspective because we're told oh so very often to follow the science. We're told that a lot. Yet right now, no one's following the silence, but they are following virtue signaling to a T.
Yeah, you did talk about the teachers union and the CDC in the classrooms. I read that very carefully. And one of the comments from the White House press secretary, Ms. Psaki, was that it's common practice for regulators or health expert areas or government agencies to seek commentary back from stakeholders. And that's very true. You know, Men's Health Network is a patient advocacy group. We are commonly and generally given the opportunity to give feedback and when FDA has a advisory board committee meeting or has a public hearing, they solicit that feedback. It's very important. It's part of the American process. But what I'm a little bit thrown for a loop for with the scenario where the CDC asked the teachers unions for comments on guidance for the schools, it doesn't seem that they asked anybody else.
Right.
That's very important. You know, you mentioned earlier on the parents feel that they're not being listened to. There are parents groups that you can go to. They should have been listening to the parents because government serves the people, the individual voters. They don't serve organizations such as Men's Health Network or such as the teachers union. They serve the individuals that these organizations represent. So when they go to the teachers union, they're hearing from teachers, or at least a subset of teachers, not all teachers. But they didn't go to parents. I don't think they even went to other professional associations, such as the American Academy of Pediatrics. About 10 months ago, the American Academy of Pediatrics, and they are the experts in this area, above CDC in my humble view, they said children should be back in class. Now, if you want to take prudent mitigation requirements, keep them distance 3 feet, not 6 feet. We know 6 feet is not the rule anymore or the guidance. But now we know and we've learned 3 feet is better. You don't have to keep them in plexiglass containers and wear masks. You can allow them to go out into the schoolyard and play without masks. So a lot of this is comfort level and a sense of security. And a lot of this is medical ease. How you balance the two is very important. So as for the teachers union and the CDC, the fault was they didn't ask others. And that's wrong.
Correct. And while I do know that it is somewhat common practice to ask other organizations, whether it's Autism Speaks, I mean, there's a list of organizations that they go to. When you constantly leave the parents out, you're basically saying that organizations, nonprofits, and the government know so much more than parents. And parents should be the number one advocate for their children. And so I am very confused why the teachers union cares more about or allegedly knows more about what our children need than what parents say their children need, particularly since the teachers union has had some very interesting demands as of late, where they want childcare for free. They want to be vaccinated. They don't want to go back to the classroom until there's greater ventilation system. I mean, they just won't listen to reason. So they have truly just been advocates for themselves. I guess that's what unions are there for, but no one is truly advocating for the kids. And now there's this push to get, you know, 12 and 15 year olds the vaccine. I mean, when are they going to push it that 9-year-olds need it? When are they going to push it that 5-year-olds need it? 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 9-year-olds, they don't need this darn vaccine.
Yeah, I think that there was a case, unfortunately, today of an 18-year-old who succumbed and passed away due to COVID. But this individual, I understand, had co-conditions that predisposed him to significant problems if you get COVID. But I think that for the average child, it's kind of a judgment call whether a child under 12 needs the vaccine. I know Pfizer is looking at doing the studies there. They're also looking at getting the vaccines fully approved, which will be an important step. But I do think that you have to have a lot of common sense about who you're vaccinating and when you're vaccinating them. Under 12, I'm still not persuaded that they need to be vaccinated. 16, 17, 18, perhaps. It all depends on the maturity of their immunologic system. So there are reasons, and one size in medicine never fits all.
No. And here in Nevada, we even have the Nevada System of Higher Education saying that they are looking to mandate that you be vaccinated to be in class and to go to school. So now we're saying you can't go to college here in Nevada. I mean, why would you want to? We're not very great. But, you know, now we're going to say you can't come unless you're vaccinated. You know, Governor Cuomo in D.C. or in New York is saying, hey, if you want to come to the baseball games, you can sit wherever you want if you're vaccinated. But if you're not vaccinated, you're going to be quarantined over here, over in D.C. The mayor there is banning dancing. I mean, we're taking this a little too far, aren't we?
Yeah, I think banning dancing at a family function, a wedding, is a little bit silly. And quite realistically, Michelle, how do you even enforce that? Do you place police officers, law enforcement officers at every wedding to make sure that they're doing this? So really, you're creating rules, I think, and the rule that the dear Governor Cuomo created about creating second-class citizens because you're not vaccinated, I do have a little bit of mixed feelings about that. You know, going to a baseball game isn't like going to school. Quite frankly, I prefer to watch baseball, football, and those kinds of things on TV. Although being a New York Jets football fan, I try not to watch too much of it. But you have to go to school. You don't have to go to a baseball game. You have to go to work, but you don't necessarily have to try to visit Europe. So I think there are certain circumstances where there are high risks where you should ask people to be vaccinated before they engage. Now, and that a baseball stadium is an outdoor stadium. So I think here again, people are getting very mixed messages about this whole business of baseball stadiums and masking and quarantining and isolating. And I fear that it goes to a point where we're creating second-class citizens based on a mark of vaccination. Do we all wear V's on our heads? The governor in Florida, DeSantis, has taken a totally different approach. The approach is things are open. The theme parks here are opening up slowly but surely. There is no mandate. He's fighting with local mayors who tend to be more controlling, if you will, more cautious, if you will, who insist that people wear masks. He's saying that you cannot mandate masks to go into supermarkets, restaurants. He's at a little bit of variance with the cruise industry in terms of vaccinations. You can't ask if you're being vaccinated to do certain things in the state. So you have two governors on complete different ends of the spectrum, just these two. And both when you look at the numbers of the spread of the virus in both states, I think Florida's approach has been much, much better medically and epidemiologically than the New York approach, where the virus is still very much a problem.
100%. The fact that I could, if I could afford it, go to Disney World right now and have a great time, I could do that. But I'm not allowed to go to Disneyland that opened up a week ago because I'm not a Californian. Thanks, Gavin. Thanks, Gavin. My kids appreciate it. All right. I want to move on to something that I'm kind of going back now to the mask issue, because Dr. Fauci, my absolute fave, he was on the Today Show this week, and Savannah Guthrie really pushed him, because you've heard about this. They want kids at summer camp to also wear the masks. And I don't even think Dr. Fauci was listening to what he was saying. I don't want to put the words in his mouth, though, so we're going to let you listen to exactly what he had to say. Let's play that Fauci summer camp video.
But the CDC guidelines right now for kids in summer camp say masks must be worn at all times, even outdoors, by everyone, including vaccinated adults and children as young as 2 years old. And campers should stay 3 feet apart, even outdoors. My question to you is, given what research shows about transmission outside, about the low risk of serious illness in children, are these CDC guidelines excessive?
You know, I wouldn't call them excessive, Savannah, but they certainly are conservative. and I think what you're going to start to see is really in real time, continually reevaluating that for its practicality. Because you're right. People look at that and they say, well, is that being a little bit too far right now?
Yeah, because aren't we supposed to be? We've been told, people have been preaching for a year, follow the science. The science doesn't suggest those CDC guidelines are too sensible for little kids outside in 90-degree heat running around with masks.
Yes, Savannah, you've asked me that question a couple of times before.
I'm asking for two kids named Vale and Charlie, age 6 and 4.
Yeah, well, you're right. The CDC makes decisions based on science. They will continually reevaluate that. You're right. It looks a bit strict, a bit stringent. But that's the reason why they keep looking at that and trying to, you know, reevaluate on literally in real time whether or not that's the practical way to go.
See, we did the whole thing because Dr. Fauci speaks out of both sides of his mouth the entire time and can't keep it together. And I'm going to go and I'm going to bring it political as much as you don't love it. Yet all those kids who are outside at summer camp, they've got to wear the masks. But all those kids in the border detention centers, in the little glass cages, covering themselves in the tinfoil blankets. Now they can all be right on top of each other. And that is totally, totally humane and not a crisis at all, according to my circle back girl, Jen Psaki.
Yeah, I certainly don't think that kids outside in a summer camp environment need to be wearing masks while they're engaging in anything other than, I apologize for the phone ringing and back.
It's all good.
Sorry. So we'll just kill the percent. They don't need to be wearing masks. I think Dr. Fauci was trying to be polite when he said it's over strict or strict. It's just not science. You can't have guidelines on the one hand that say you don't need to wear masks outside unless you're a kid in summer camp. Even if the counselors are vaccinated, which I think is prudent, and you're not at high risk. So I think these mixed messages are causing more harm than all of the mitigation strategies that we currently need to have. So we have to be clear with people. We have to use common sense and not just hard science to moderating how science is interpreted. You know, in clinical practice, you can do things by the number, or you can do things by the number and the preferences of the patient. You know, you have to take that into consideration. So, no, they shouldn't be wearing things outside. In fact, it could be very harmful to children running around with masks on when they're engaged in a lot of strenuous activity in the summer, in the sun, in the heat. That could be very dangerous to a lot of little kids. And then we'll have other kinds of problems.
And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head as to what the major frustration is today, because these inconsistencies and this, well, I'm trying to be polite, don't want our bag on my friends at the CDC, Dr. Fauci. The problem with all of that is it's making very reasonable people like myself, who has always gotten the flu vaccine, totally vaccinated my kids. I'm a little unsure about that HPV one. One day I'll talk to you about it, even though you're from the Men's Health Network. But, you know, I'm wonky on that one. Right. So I have issues, but I don't want to get this COVID vaccine because the question is why I still have to wear a mask. The question is, why do kids at the border who are coming here illegally, they don't have to wear masks. They can be piled on top of each other, but my kids have to wear them all day while they're in school. These inconsistencies that don't follow science, it gets to a point where now you've made me a crazy conservative because I'm like, wait, no, it is a baby in the womb. Sorry, that's science. Sorry, there are only two sexes. That is science. There aren't 106. Sorry, if you're fully vaccinated, you shouldn't have to wear a mask because if I'm fully vaccinated with the chickenpox vaccine, I'm not going to wear a mask and freak out if another little kid has chickenpox. I can't anymore with the not following science. And I don't know how we get across to these people, whether it be Fauci, the Biden administration, whatever, that the more that you defy science, you make normal people like myself say, oh, heck no, I am not going to follow these stupid rules because there's no truth behind it. It's narrative, not a foundation of truth.
Scientists disagree all the time, Michelle. And that's part of the process of learning, evolving, getting new information and synthesizing it into reasonable recommendations that, here's the key word, work in the real world. So scientists disagree a lot. And that's part of the scientific process. But I think when you are a public policy maker, as Dr. Fauci has become, he's not a scientist working in a lab, interacting with just other scientists in a bubble, which is what he was doing prior to January of 2020. But now he is a public policy maker, advising at the highest levels that have global implications, and CDC is a policymaker. They're not just at that high level, not just talking to scientists about gathering data. So they have to take on a different mantle. Public policymakers, which they are now, have to consider the real world implications of the use of science in a pragmatic way. It's not just all about the numbers. And it's not about changing your mind every 2 weeks. That's very disconcerting, even to me.
Well, Dr. Sal, I think I'm going to start a change.org petition to make you the new head of the CDC. Get rid of Walensky, put you in.
No, I'm on that job now. I'm perfectly happy doing what I'm doing now.
I know. I just kid. Well, Dr. Sal, it's always a pleasure to have you. Thank you for giving us so much of your time today, so much of your insight and wisdom. We do appreciate it. You have a good one, all right?
You as well, Michelle. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. All right. Well, we've got more Michelle Mortensen show to come up. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit about Caitlyn Jenner because I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm Team Caitlyn. Let's talk about it right after this quick commercial break.
Eisenhower vaccine. England's got a new queen. Marciano Liberace, satire, and a goodbye.
We didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire. No, we didn't light it, but we tried to fight.
Yeah. This week on State of the State, it appears Biggie, Diddy, and Mays were right. More money. More problems. And right now, Nevada has both. The state's been flooded with cash from federal COVID relief, yet everyday Nevadans are still struggling. So why haven't lawmakers fixed Dieter?
And just seeing the Democratic Party make excuses for why we can't fix this.
It's going down for it.
Plus, could mass evictions be coming for renters across the Silver State?
I think it's a very good possibility. And a lot of that, I think, has to stem with Nevada not giving assistance to homeowners.
The eviction moratorium is about to end, and many property managers say they haven't been paid rent in months.
Her tenant makes $80,000 a year, has not lost his job, and has not paid his rent since November.
This and so much more on this week's State of the State. Watch Friday or on demand only on Grabit TV.
Hey, Rogers, look! I'm you!
Jake from State Farm. You couldn't find a standard that looked anything like me?
Have you seen mine?
It's like looking in a mirror, right?
Now that one makes sense.
Look, guys, I don't even have a stand-in.
Of course you do.
Hold on. Is that Drake?
That's right. Drake from State Farm.
Like a good neighbor. Stand-ins don't have lines.
Oh, okay.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You don't fool me. Cause I heard that Michelle, the pain still grows. So strange you hear me.
I just showed that video to my six-year-old and I was like, this drum thing, it's super awesome. And she was like, no, it's not. And then I kind of rewatched it and I'm like, yeah, it's classic. It's pretty good. But Phil Collins really did look a lot like Dr. Evil from Austin Powers back in the day. Did he not? Was that like cool whenever that song came out? I don't know when that song came out. It came out a long time ago. That's all I know. All right, it's time to talk about California's gubernatorial race. As you know, Caitlyn Jenner has announced that she is running for governor. And immediately, Democrats lost their minds and Republicans lost their minds. For once, they agreed. And I don't honestly know why they all agreed. Let's look at her campaign commercial, because quite honestly, it's pretty good.
Famed Olympic gold medalist Caitlyn Jenner is now entering a new race for the governor of California.
I've always been a dreamer.
California was once the envy of the world. We had what everyone else wanted. The American dream grew up here. Yet career politicians and their policies have destroyed that dream. It's been locked away, closed, shuttered, left in the dark, burned down. The government is now involved in every part of our lives. They've taken our money, our jobs, and our freedom. California needs a disruptor, a compassionate disruptor. I came here with a dream 48 years ago to be the greatest athlete in the world. Now I enter a different kind of race, arguably my most important one yet, to save California. I want to carry the torch for the parents who had to balance work and their child's education, for business owners who were forced to shut down, for pastors who were not able to be with their congregation, for the family who lost their home in a fire, for an entire generation of students who lost a year of education. This past year has redefined our career politicians as elitists and the people of California as the warriors, the kings, and the angels. We never take kindly to glass ceilings here. Instead, we shatter them.
This one's way out there.
We're the trailblazers, the innovators. California is facing big hurdles. Now, we need leaders who are unafraid to leap to new heights.
Governor, he does not want to finish record in this race. He wants the world record.
Who are unafraid to challenge and to change the status quo.
I want to prove that it is absolutely possible if we only do it together.
California, it's time to reopen our schools, reopen our businesses, reopen the Golden Gates. So I don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat, I'm running to be governor for all Californians. To reclaim our true identity, to bring back the gold to the Golden State.
What a tremendous victory!
Now is the time to achieve that summit, to be the shining city on the hill, and together we'll restore and renew the California dream.
It's about what happens from here. It's not just about one person. It's about all of us.
That's a good ad, y'all. That's a good ad. I love political ads, and I'm the kind of dork who was like, you know, crying during the Bob Dole ads in the 90s. But you know what? That was a good ad. And you know it was made by political consultants because they said, you know, I'm the disruptor. And I remember when I ran for Congress 2 years ago, I was told to be the disruptor too. That's a buzzword. But I don't even care because it was good. And where was the lie? I mean, where was the lie? Where was the lie? There was no lie. There was everything in that commercial was true. But how did America respond? Republicans were like, I don't believe she's a real conservative. She's not a she. She's a he. That's how the Republicans acted. Then I could do my best, you know, Democrat impression. which would just be like, I'm superior. But I'm going to let Joy Reid, the queen of superiority, who likes to tell Black people that they don't know about being Black. Remember Tim Scott? And she also likes to tell trans people that they don't know anything about being trans. She's a real peach. She really is. Let's hear what she had to say, shall we?
Caitlyn Jenner, the Republican candidate for California governor who wants to lead that state, does not speak for the trans community. But she is a longtime Republican who is also a vehement Trump supporter. They don't actually care about fairness in girls' sports. It's about forcing the other to exist in their shadow so that they can continue living in a country where their status is protected against all else. And that is why the GOP selling rage over actual policy is the absolute worst.
No, no, no. What's the absolute worst is Joy Reid sitting there on her little perch in her glass desk after she was called out years ago for sending out homophobic tweets. And then once again, she tries to say that Caitlyn Jenner's the problem. No, 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 no. But here is a real problem. People have an issue with Caitlyn Jenner. And I know many in my Christian conservative community are going to be furious with me. They're going to say like, Michelle, there's no way you're a Pentecostal. How are you okay with this? I'm okay with this for one big reason. When it comes to politics, it's not about doing the most Christian thing. It's about doing the right thing. It's about who can win. And constantly asking Alabama Republicans to win in California is a losing, losing, losing venture. Let's be real. Gavin's probably going to win this recall again because Californians are stupid and they're super liberal and they just can't deal with Caitlyn Jenner or the dude in San Diego who's probably a far better conservative, would probably be a great governor, but nobody knows who the heck he is. Hence why I call him the dude from San Diego. And the dream that Sean Hannity has that Rick Grenell is going to run and that he could win, well, that's just preposterous too. So at the end of the day, remember, the last time we had a Republican in California, it was Arnold Schwarzenegger. So tell me why the reality star who's totally tied up with the Kardashians couldn't win. Hello, she could totally win if people would get behind her. But everyone in the Republican side is either angry because she's transgendered or they're angry because they don't think she's transgendered enough. So I appreciate, even though we all know I don't really like Sean Hannity, I watch Sean Hannity pretty much regularly. I just don't like it personally. But he did a pretty darn good interview with Caitlyn Jenner. We're going to go over some parts of it. First off, why Joy Reid had her panties in a bunch about Caitlyn Jenner is because Caitlyn Jenner came out and said, hey, boys should be playing boy sports. Girls should be playing girl sports. We should not be mixing the two. I will let you listen to Caitlyn kind of respond to that in her interview with Sean Hannity right now.
I stick with my statements that I made. We have to make sure that the integrity of girls' sports is there. I think that's extremely important. There's more to it than just what I said, because I just said biological boys in sports. There's more to it than that. And I think in the future, I will explain more of that. But for me, as a trans woman, I think role models are extremely important for young people. Trans issues people struggle with big time. Our suicide rate is 9 times higher than the general public. And for me to be a role model for them, to be out there, I am running for governor of the state of California. Who would have ever thunk that? We've never even had a woman governor.
But some are mad at you.
I move on.
I love that. I love that for so many reasons. Let me just tell you a few. Shall I? Okay. So a couple weeks ago, my girls, had a play date. And two other of their little friends were over. And while they were eating lunch, the Disney Channel was on, as it is often in our home. This was in the month of March, Women's History Month. And all of a sudden, they have this thing where they do these little commercial blocks and they profile people. And they profiled a state senator from Delaware. And I was like, that's interesting. That's weird. I'm going to watch this. Why are they profiling a state senator from Delaware? Well, it was about making herstory and it was Women's Month, you know, recognizing Women's Month. And they're interviewing this state senator from Delaware. And I'm kind of listening and I'm going, something ain't right. Something ain't right. Something ain't right. Grab my phone and Googled. And I quickly found out that this was a trans woman This was a trans woman. And she had the audacity in that interview to say, I'm a woman and I've won an election and I tell people that women can win political office. And I about lost my mind because I am a woman who has ran for political office, who probably should be elected, but we constantly go for the dumb white guy that's running against me. Like every time, it's a real problem, Nevada, figure it out. But that's beside the point. But I was furious about that. Now I want to show you what Caitlyn Jenner just did. She didn't refer to herself as a woman. She said she is a trans woman. She didn't say she said we've never even had a woman governor in California. She's not claiming to be the first woman governor because she ain't a woman and she admits it. She didn't care when Joy Behar called her a him. She didn't care. She didn't care at all. Caitlyn Jenner's just like, dude, this is my life. This is what I chose to do. I'm a conservative. I'm a Republican. I want to fight for what's right. And I want to use common sense and logic. And you know what? I can get behind that. If she was like having her videos with I am woman, hear me roar, like I probably have a problem with that, okay? But I don't have a problem with someone who is being honest. And I don't have a problem kicking out career politicians who are relatives of Nancy Pelosi, who've done everything they can to destroy Disneyland. Hence, again, my kids can't go there because we don't have a California ID. Man, I've never wanted a fake ID so badly in my life as I do right now. And that's really stupid. All right. She's also very much a law and order person. Listen to what she had to say about all the riots and all the nonsense that's happened in California.
You watch the riots this summer. Some Democrats, media people wouldn't acknowledge their riots. I have statistics in L.A., 465 shootings since January 1st, up 67% from last year. Homicides up 26%. When you look at L.A. County, and outside the city of Los Angeles, well, homicides up a whopping 113%. And Gavin Newsom is going to release 76,000 additional inmates for good behavior. 63,000 of them committed violent crimes. Would you do that?
Not at all. I think on the releasing of the prisoners, criminal justice reform is very important, and we need to do that, okay? We need to rehabilitate people in prison and bring them back into the community safely. In his case, I don't know how many of these people have actually been rehabilitated to go back into society. And so I am 100% behind our police force. Every place I go, if I see a cop, if I'm driving and I see a cop, I'll put my hand out the window and give him a thumbs up. They're sitting there, I'll pull up and say, hey, thank you for your service. You know, this citizen appreciates what you do. I 100% support our police forces. As far as I would be very tough on riding, using as many forces as I could possibly use to stop the rioting, protect the citizens and the businesses of this community.
See, again, where's the problem there? Where's the problem? Where's the problem with what she said? Here is the problem with Republicans overall today. They're so convinced that everyone is a rhino. And I want to ban that term rhino. They're so convinced everyone's a spy. When I first ran for office, I was told I was a spy too, that I'm really a closet Democrat because I worked in news. There was nothing further from the truth when you had a 12-year-old girl who had a crush on Dan Quayle, right? There was no way. I've always been a Republican. I'm always going to be a Republican. Nothing's ever going to change my conservative ways. I'm married to a pastor. I'm a pastor. I'm just a Christian who swears a little. Okay? Okay? There was no part of me that was never not going to be conservative. But see, this is what we do. When it's an unknown, I'm not sure, your first instinct is rhino. They're going to be the worst. They're going to be awful. Blah, blah, blah. I can't trust them. And what happens is we end up losing elections. See, with this Gavin Newsom election, again, I think Gavin's going to get reelected. But the best thing we could do is not have a nasty primary, not have a loaded primary because they've got the jungle primaries there. Everybody get behind one person and change things. Because even if Caitlyn Jenner is not perfect, even if Caitlyn Jenner is not the Christian conservative Republican of your dreams who's running in Alabama, I'll tell you this much. Caitlyn Jenner wants to undo all the drama that Gavin Newsom has done. And these same people who say, I would never support Caitlyn, had no problem supporting Donald Trump, who was for many years a Democrat, used to totally hang out with Hillary and Bill, used to be very pro-choice. People change. You had no problem with supporting a reality star when it was Donald Trump, but you have a problem with Caitlyn Jenner because she's trans and was on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. See, it doesn't make any sense to me. We create these weird slots, these weird rules, these weird standards that really just end up hurting us in the end. That's exactly what it does. And we can screw up this opportunity because in a special election, there's no better time to get rid of someone like Gavin. It worked. We got rid of Gray Davis several years ago. We got Arnold Schwarzenegger. Let's be real. Is Arnold super conservative? Doesn't appear that he is. Was Arnold a heck of a lot better than Gray Davis? Yes. Yes, he was. We've got to stop defeating the very people who could win. I was at the Lincoln Day dinner. I know I said I was never going to go to things like that, but I went. Mark Hutchinson spoke, and he said the most brilliant thing ever. He said, let's support the Republican that can win the general. Not the most conservative Republican who can win the primary. The most conservative Republican who can win the general. Because at the end of the day, winning the general is all that matters. Everyone goes, I'm so mad about all those rhinos in the legislature. Okay, great. Good for you. You're mad about it. What's worse, having someone who you think is a rhino, again, want to ban that term, or a super liberal Democrat? Oh, you mean it's better to have a Republican, even if they're not the most conservative Republican in the world? Exactly. Do I like Mitt Romney? Nope, can't stand him. Did I like John McCain? Nope, not really. Couldn't stand him. Didn't even want to vote for John McCain until Palin got on the ticket because I was a Huckabee supporter. See, super Christian here who swears a little. The point is we don't always get our guy or girl, but you do have to support a Republican, even if you think they're not the best Republican, because when we don't, we lose elections. Remember, everyone was mad at Dr. Heck when he was running for Senate because he denounced Trump. But was Carolyn Cortez Masto a better choice? No. Do you know how we have a Senator Bernie Sanders right now? I'll tell you. It was 1992, I believe, in Vermont, where we had a Republican in office in the House of Representatives. His name was Paul Smith, I believe, and he wasn't very strong on gun rights. He wasn't a great gun guy. And Nevada's a big gun state. And Bernie said he was pro-gun. Back then, he was. He was a socialist. He was the former socialist of the largest city in Vermont, Burlington. And so the Republicans said, we're going to vote for the independent, the socialist progressive Bernie Sanders. We're going to get him in, and we'll just get him out 2 years later. Well, 30 years later, the man is now running the entire show. See? Y'all get so mad when the Republican doesn't fit your box. Y'all get so mad when it doesn't fit the image that you think it's supposed to be. But the truth of the matter is, the best Republican is the Republican who can win. Remember, Donald Trump isn't even the most conservative Republican there is. He believes in tariffs. He does all sorts of things that the Democrats actually kind of like. Donald Trump is more a populist than anything. So every person who wants to label somebody else crazy, anti-vax, rhino, whatever, y'all just need to chill out because it's because of you that we're losing elections. I was going to play another clip, but we're obviously out of time because we know that one of everybody's favorite parts of the show is when I do my top five at the end and I let you know about all the stupid stuff you've missed all week. So that means we got to have a commercial break and let that stuff fly. So we'll be right back. And yes, you're going to want to wait because guess what? This week we include a little segment about Stacey Abrams, who's quite the little naughty novelist. Oh, it's good. We'll be right back. Big Willie style's all in it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it.
Yes!
Yes?
Yes, sure.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, no problem.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, 1,000 times yes.
Discover. Accepted at 99% of places in the U.S.
Allstate, drivers who switched saved over $700. Saving is easy when you're in good hands. Allstate, click or call to switch today.
Speaking of bald might men, what was up with Michael Stipe's eyebrows in that concert footage there? I don't know, but it is the end of the world as we know it possibly, because on Monday, we are expecting some space junk to hurl to Earth. Have you heard about this? A huge piece of space junk is about to make an uncontrolled reentry back into the Earth's atmosphere. It's threatening to drop debris in a number of cities around the world in the coming days. It's really orbiting the Earth unpredictably every 90 minutes at a speed of 17,000 plus miles per hour. This sounds so good. It was specifically designed to withstand high temperatures, so it's definitely going to survive reentry. So the Chinese have, you know, they want to win the space race too. And now we're going to get space junk that could probably hit us, and who knows where it's going to land. They were like, oh, it's probably going to land somewhere in the Pacific. But we don't know how, and we don't know why, and we're not really sure, but that's what it's supposed to do. Because space junk traveling at 17,000 miles per hour is definitely just going to target in like, yeah, the Pacific. I'm going to go right there. That's very specific and absolutely ridiculous. Voter fraud is evidently real. I know you've heard otherwise, but it is very, very real in high school homecoming queen races. Yes, take a look.
On homecoming night, Emily Rose Grover dazzled in a shimmering silver gown and sparkly crown, and she smiled from ear to ear as she was escorted down the football field. But it appears this result was all an elaborate scheme by Emily Grover and her mom, Laura Carroll. Investigators say 117 votes for homecoming queen came from the same IP address. Agents say they also uncovered evidence that a total of 246 votes cast were linked to mom Laura Carroll's cell phone and computer. Listen to what Laura Carroll told students in this school video.
Stay safe, make good choices.
The scandal hit close to home for one CNN anchor.
I was my homecoming queen, and I guarantee it was not rigged.
WEAR-TV anchor Carolyn Serta out of Pensacola, Florida, weighs in.
There are those who think, hey, what's the big deal? This is just homecoming court, homecoming queen. This is just high school. But really, there are a lot of parents in our community with students in this district who have some real serious concerns.
Some parents are voicing those concerns on social media. The damage caused by this mother and daughter is disgusting, went one comment. Others are praising the two runners-up in the homecoming court. Congratulations to Arliana Wyatt and Kendall Blackman, two beautiful young ladies who deserve recognition for doing things the right way.
Nothing says jumping the shark more than Fonzie in a helmet and me running Inside Edition pieces in a legitimate show. I have 8 Emmys. And I just did that. I can't believe it. But it brings to the point that, you know, in a world where we say voter fraud never happened in an election, and I'm not the biggest believer in voter fraud in elections either, we are going to throw the book at someone who actually did commit voter fraud in a homecoming court case. Get this. She turned 18 in April, so now they're going to try her as an adult. Mom and the daughter actually went to jail because of this. They could be facing several years in prison because of this. And I just got to say, what the fudge? Okay, first off, this mom and daughter, a little sick. Like, what are you doing hatching a scheme going like, you know, it'd be great if you were homecoming queen and we'll just rig it. And because I work at the school, we'll just set it all up. Like, seriously, what kind of example are you for your daughter? This is a ton of privilege, a ton of stupidity, okay? She got expelled. That's where it should end. This is freaking the homecoming court. This is not a presidential election. This is not a congressional election in Iowa. It's none of those things. This is the homecoming court. Why should this poor kid be going to jail for making a bad decision and having a bad mom? And why? Why do we care about people who are hyper privileged more than people who commit actual crimes? I'm looking at you, Aunt Becky from Full House, who had to go to jail because you like rigged it to get your kids into USC or whatever. I mean, yeah, super hypocritical, super rich privilege, super elitist behavior that I can't stand. But really, we think that's a problem, but we'll let people come across the border illegally and we're totally okay with that. Oh, okay. We have kids who like those two a-hole, I'm going to say a-hole girls who jacked the Uber driver's car and then drove off while the Uber driver, Muhammad, that 65-year-old man, was hanging on for dear life. They killed him. They're getting off when they're 21 because the prosecutors there in D.C. were like, well, they're children. They don't deserve this. But a child who rigs a homecoming queen race should be in the slammer? What the fudge is wrong with everybody? I'm just over it. This is insanity. And let me tell you, if a mom and her high school daughter could Karen up and learn to rig an election, guess what? Republicans and Democrats can do it too. Just saying. Just remember, we don't keep track of who you vote for. All right. Number three is about Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams is actually multifaceted. I did not know that. She writes books. She writes naughty novels under the pen name, the pseudonym, the nom de plume, Selena Montgomery. They're, you know, 50 Shades of Grey porn books. That's what she writes. And people are buying them now for ridiculous amounts of money because they've been out of print, anywhere from $92 to $3,200 for one of her books. They're going to be reissued next year. People are going to definitely want to get their hands on these. The only thing that finding out that she is Selena, a smutty novelist, the only thing that told me was that she does have a very active imagination. It really does clear things up for me now as to how she still thinks that she's the governor of Georgia when she clearly lost. Fantasy life is real. I bet she watched Fantasy Island as a kid and was like, the plane, I bet. Remember that? I'm sure someone will report me for that reference. I don't care. Twitter wants to make you nicer. Fantastic. They are unrolling a feature that when you basically pen a tweet and you're like, you stupid jerk off, I hate you, it'll send up a little warning and say like, hey, do you really want to send that? You want to think about that again? And they say that it's going to stop, you know, bad behavior, and that they've really worked hard on this to like eliminate sarcasm and to try to understand tone. My only question is why, I wonder, did it not work for hashtag Uncle Tim, a totally racist statement just about a week ago for poor Tim Scott? It didn't pick up that hashtag Uncle Tim was racist or hateful. That's interesting. So interesting. Nothing about Twitter is interesting. Nothing at all. Get off the devil's platform. Anybody who runs a platform and decides my look is going to be Tom Hanks from that freaking movie where he talked to a volleyball all the time with his dumb, stupid beard just should be ignored. And you know what else should be ignored is TikTok, but I just can't ignore it. And I keep going back there. And I've learned something that a 24-year-old girl went on TikTok a couple years ago. I didn't even know TikTok existed then. And she came up with a term called Chuji. Sounds very stupid. But this word is describing, you know, basic millennials and older. And so now it's the huge rage. And everyone, all of Gen Z, the 6 to 24-year-olds, didn't realize 6-year-olds were part of Gen Z. I'm kind of hurt by that. My kids made the cut. I was hoping they'd be a part of a different generation called the smart generation. But they are using the term to describe, you know, all you 25 to 40 somethings who are awful. And so since, you know, your kids are going to come home and one day be like, you're so choogy. And you're going to be like, what the fudge does that mean? I'm here to help you out and educate you. So evidently you are choogy if you use herbal essence shampoo. I thought only like 16-year-old girls used herbal essence shampoo, but whatevs. if you are hashtag girl boss. Evidently, girl boss energy is a sign of being totally choogy and using that hashtag. Okay. Other hashtags that mean you're totally choogy is when you do, I did a thing, and then post a picture of your new haircut. That is super cringy. I did a thing. Look, I've got a bob now. It's so stupid. I'm there. When you do hashtag views for like a mountain or beach pic, or if you say things like life's a beach when you're on the beach. This one I take issue with. You're choogy if you love Disney and you're an adult. But ask me why I love Disney. Because I got a 6 and 9 year old who think that Tiana and, you know, Aurora and Ariel are all real. So that's my first choogy thing. Jean jackets. I do have to admit, jean jackets. I don't even know what choogy is, but I'm like, yes, totally choogy. Especially when every political candidate who's a Republican is like, I need to look like a Nevadan. So I'm going to throw on a jacket and be by a horse. All right. If you like the Garden State soundtrack, I haven't listened to the Garden State soundtrack in years, but that was a super good movie. And I do remember that soundtrack being pretty good, but I only had it on CD, which shows how old I am. And I couldn't tell you where that CD is, but Zach Braff or whatever his name is, the guy from Scrubs, he was in that one. Remember? And the world goes, no, Michelle, I have no idea what you're talking about. You're old and irrelevant. Graphic tees are choogy. I'm way too fancy and bougie for a graphic tee, but I might own one or two. I kind of want an MTV one because I'm old enough to know MTV. Decorative wood signs for your home. You know, anything that's like, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. So I might own one that says, you know, carry on. What's that carry on? The British one? Keep calm and carry on. I might. If you like Dunder Mifflin merch, you're choosy. I can't even say the word. Choogy. Whatever it is. If you like The Office and Friends, you're choogy. And I do love The Office because Michael Scott and Dwight are just like my spirit animals. And everybody in that show was amazing. That show is amazing and would totally be banned today and not allowed. And if you like Axe body spray, you are so choogy. And I agree. Axe body spray and cargo shorts and buffalo wings need to like all just be like, no, you're not cool. You're not young and you're not hot anymore. So I guess I kind of agree with it. You know what else I agree with? It's time to end this show. And today, you know, I love to end with some music. I've got the perfect song. It is the anthem for Democrat cancel culture, Twitter, twit liberals everywhere. Now, I know some of you are just like, oh, Michelle, I'm so done with your show. Now you're doing songs for the cancel culture, virtue signaling, Twitter twits. Calm down, slow your roll, and listen to the song, and you can at me later and apologize. I'll see you next time.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. Don't know much about geography. Don't know much trigonometry. Don't know much about algebra. Don't know what a sliding.